Lance, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being a part of it.
Well, thanks, John. Thanks for asking me.
What was your reaction when you heard that that your buddy Ken was going in?
Well, I've been in conference calls. You know, we're in the middle of football season, starting really the second quarter of the NFL season, and we just did the Broncos-Patriots game yesterday, now getting ready for the Jets-Indy game this weekend, and I got a text from you asking me to come on. I wasn't anywhere around an internet, been on conference calls all day, and heard the news from you, and that's just tremendous news. I am so thrilled and so happy for Ken, and well deserved, and you can always say long, you know, way overdue, but it is finally going to happen, and it will be great to have him in the Hall of Fame.
You know, I didn't realize it until I pulled up and did a little research. And you've worked with a lot of great analysts over the years. I didn't realize that nobody has been an analyst in broadcast sports longer than he was for you guys.
No, he was over 30 years. And, you know, when you think about the Hall of Fame, I mean, obviously his record as a professional golfer stands on its own, winning the 64 U.S. Open, and along with all the other things, captain of the President's Cup, and so many things as an amateur and throughout the year as a professional. But you think also he is also a lot of that he's going into a Hall of in the Hall of Fame is because of what he did on TV. I mean, he actually, you know, he came along when golf was really exploding with Frank Chikinian and Ken Venturi and Pat Summerall and all those people. And, you know, people started watching golf, you know, expand from doing a couple of holes at a golf tournament to now, this day and age, on starting Thursday morning until the champion is crowned on Sunday night. You know, you got golf almost 24 hours a day, and you do as a golf channel. But and so Ken Venturi was a pioneer in television golf. Now, what we look at now on TV golf, Ken Venturi was there on top of being a great player.
Well, and what's amazing to me when I think about growing up in the game of golf is that, you know, on Sunday afternoons, we'd play golf Sunday morning. We'd get a little church in, we'd play some golf, and then we would come and sit down in the den, my father, my brother, my mother, and I, and it was Ken Venturi explaining to us how we could become better golfers and why a player was doing this and this in a situation. And that's the voice that I remember from my childhood. It's pretty, you know what, the point I'm trying to make is you're 100% right. He should have gone in just for that, but it's the lifetime achievement category that he's been voted in, and it's long overdue.
Well, I'm just glad he's getting the opportunity and that he's going to be there. You know, I think about right when I got your text, and I text Jim Nantz, who I know is off the charts. He's been traveling most of the day going back home out west, and he was excited as we all are. We love Ken Venturi. You know, I always think about the first day that Chuck Will at CBS Sports, when I was a junior in college, said, "You're going to sit on the 18th tower and work for Pat Summerall here at Colonial in 1976. And I always tell the story walking there, thinking about 1976, Pat Summerall, who at the time and for many years before, many years after, is the number one sportscaster in America. And then I realized sitting next to Pat Summerall is the great Ken Venturi. And, you know, for a 19-year-old kid, I got a little nervous there all of a sudden thinking I'm going to be sitting next to these great men. But, you know, they're both responsible for, in a lot of ways, where I am today in my career at CBS Sports because of Pat taking a liking to me and hiring me to travel with him. And then Ken Venturi being so kind, not only – when I was working for Pat, but when I started full-time with CBS in our entry-level program, to the honor of being able to be his producer for a few years. And, you know, I think about all the great things that he did, his stroke savers and his knowledge of the game and his knowledge of the sports. And, you know, just being his two mentors is not too bad. Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson, those are pretty two good guys that teach you how to play golf. And, you know, it's amazing.
It is amazing. We're talking to Lance Barrow, getting reaction to his friend Ken Venturi making it into the Hall of Fame. Lance, you're very busy. I didn't actually expect to get you because you not only do golf, you also do the featured CBS football game every week, as you mentioned. How you holding up? Have you been home lately?
No, I haven't been to Texas in a while. I'm actually sitting here in Buffalo, New York. I'm heading to Rochester. We have one of our many PGA Championship surveys tomorrow morning at Oak Hill, and then I'll head down to Washington to look at the Congressional for our tournament down in June, the Tiger Woods AT&T tournament, and then I'm back up to New York for the Jets game. And so, but it's great. It beats working. I guarantee you that. It really beats working. And, I mean, you know, to get to spend all year long with Jim Nance, but also get to be part of that year with our golf guys, you know, Faldo, Faraday, McCord, Ian Baker, Finch, Peter Kostas, and then spend the other half of the year with guys like, you know, Phil Sims. I mean, it's a good way to go through life, you know, and it's not bad getting to see the best golf tournaments in the world and the best football games in the world. And this year, you know, we do the Super Bowl, and 6 weeks later we'll do the Masters. And so that's not too shabby.
I have to ask you, McCord is apparently, it may have been, I think it's this coming weekend, he's playing Paula Creamer in a reprise of the Battle of the Sexes. Have you guys been giving him a hard time about that?
Well, you know, I think we've done the Denver Broncos 3 weeks in a row. The yesterday in New England, but the 2 weeks before that, we were in Denver, and Gary came down to both games, and you know, I didn't really have a chance to talk to him about that. I know he will have his hands full. I know that. I know he will have his hands full. And if Paula asked me how to play against him, I would say just right off the bat, get in his head, because he'll be going crazy by about the second hole. That's just the way McCord is.
They're going to have Faraday there to MC the whole thing, so she may not even have to do anything. I think Faraday's going to enjoy getting into McCord's head.
Yeah, Faraday will definitely get in his head. I remember doing a couple of Champions events that McCord played in and played well. I mean, you know, all kidding aside, I mean, Gary and Faraday both plays that kind of Bob Uecker kind of role, as when we weren't really that great at golfers. I, you know, anybody that's Gary McCord's age that could play golf like Gary McCord and in the shape that Gary McCord is in would be doing pretty well. And same thing with Faraday. Faraday won golf tournaments all over the world, but they're an interesting group to have around, and I know Faraday will be brutal on Gary McCord during that match.
There's no question about it. If you were conducting the interview with Ken coming up in just a few minutes, what question would you ask him?
I'd ask him, first off, you know, for a young boy who grew up, you know, his dad was a Nets seller in San Francisco, to be able to accomplish and be able to achieve what he has achieved in his life, you know, how would that make him, you know, what does he think about that? And, you know, just about being able to go into the Hall of Fame, you know, a couple of years ago, Frank Chekinian went into the Hall of Fame, you know, right, he knew about it right before his death, and how that's going to make him feel. And going into class with Fred Couples, and I know there will be probably a couple more players or people that will go into the Hall of Fame, but, you know, I think about it too. Jim Nance is going to be very busy that night of the induction, because I know Freddie has already said that he would like to have him induct him into the Hall of Fame. And I know Ken Venturi will, you know, ask Jim Nance also, I would take it, to induct him into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I figure Jim's going to be very busy doing that. And, you know, both guys love him and he loves them tremendously. But, you know, I would just think, you know, for a young man who stuttered, who doctor right. said he couldn't speak, and then became really the guy that does anybody who does golf really kind of looked and was encouraged by what Ken Venturi did for over those 30 years at CBS Sports. And, you know, I think those are things that I'd want to know how it makes him feel, you know, that he's going into the Hall of Fame, well-deserved, not only as a golfer, but also as a pioneer in the television business.
Yeah, I mean, and as a gentleman as well, I think that, you know, you can look to all the accomplishments, but actually, Lance, stay right there, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We just had Mr. Venturi call in now.
Okay.
So first and foremost, can we do it? Brian, can they both be on at the same time? All right, he's going to – Brian's alone in the studio trying to make all this happen. And, Lance, I'll let you congratulate him yourself.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks, John. I'm really excited for
him. I guarantee it. And as we all are. I mean, it's, we Mr. Venturi, it's John McGinnis and an old friend of yours on the line as well, who I was talking about your induction. Lance Barrow is on the line. Lance, say hello to Ken.
Hey, Kenny, congratulations. I'm so thrilled for you. Unbelievable. Well-deserved.
Oh, thank you. You're great to say that. And it just, I haven't had tears in my eyes since I won the Open. But when I got the call from Tim Fincham, it was just something that I'll treasure all my life.
Well, I can't wait to be there when you're inducted into the Hall of Fame. And like I was telling John, you know, not only as a great player, which everybody knows, but also as a pioneer in the television business for what you did for over 30 years at CBS Sports. And, you know, John brought up a great point. Also, all the charity work that you've done for all these years and the example you've been, I just can't think of a person who is so well-deserved to get this award and be able to go into the Hall of Fame. I think this is great, and I'm happy for you. I'm thrilled for you, and it was great news when I heard the news that you were going in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, we had some great times together, and it was, you know, it's always easy to work 35 years when you work with the best people in the business.
Well, thank you. I'll say goodbye and let John interview you. Give my love to Kathleen, and I will see you down the line, I hope, soon.
Oh, thank you, Zane. I'll tell you this. I'll always treasure your friendship.
Well, thank you, Kenny. Same here. I love you, my friend.
Thanks, Lance.
Mr. Venturi, where were you when you got the call? When did you find out?
I was home. I was at the house, and it was about at least 2.5 weeks ago, and he won to congratulate me. He says, but you can't tell anybody. I says, well, you came to the right person that I won't tell, but the only one my wife knew, but I kept a secret, and I knew it was out because yesterday John Cook called me and said, congratulations. I said, on what? He said, Hall of Fame. I said, how'd you find that out? They said, Golf Channel told us that you were going to be on. And I said, well, now you know. And I says, thank you.
Yeah, I actually found out a couple of days ago as well. And I couldn't be more thrilled for you. I'm curious, you had such an incredible career as not only a player, but as Lance just alluded to, the 35 years in the broadcast booth. Can you point to any one thing that you're most proud of over that period of time?
Well, I'm proud of the people that I worked with and working with Lance after Chikinian was left there, and being able to do, you know, with Jack Whitaker and, you know, Jimmy Nance and all the people that I worked with and the crew at CBS, and we used to do the CBS Golf Classic. We were really a family. I tell you what, we there's nothing that any one of us wouldn't do for someone else.
You know, that's I've been fortunate enough to work on some good crews, and you know, the guys who have been around for a long time look back on your group and say that's the best that was ever assembled. I think, does that have anything to do with the fact that you guys were at the forefront of expanding golf coverage and really bringing it to the masses?
Well, we did it when we did the CBS Golf Classic, and where I got, you know, I learned how to speak pretty much. I was taught by talking, and my voice and stuff was by Bing Crosby. And when I began, you know, before I was on television, I talked fast. And now with Bing, you don't take your time and just say it slow. And he said, people will always listen to someone who speaks softly and slowly.
Oh, what great advice.
Oh, yes. Bing and I played a lot of golf. We lived just a couple blocks away, but he would come to some of the broadcasts and stuff, and he taught me the voice, and then of course you can't get much better than Jack Whitaker.
No, I completely agree. As I was telling Lance, you know, for an entire generation or more than one generation, you guys were the ones that we sat with our families with and were introduced to the game and encouraged to play the game. And now we're all, you know, of an age that, you know, we're trying to do the same things and to emulate the things that that you guys did. That to me is enough without the 14 wins in the U.S. Open to put you into the Hall of Fame, sir.
Well, that's what they said, and they said that, and it was really nice when they said that you were unanimously voted in, and it's such an honor to, you know, I've always said that the greatest reward in life is to be remembered, and I thank the World Golf Hall of Fame for remembering me, because another thing that I've said that, you know, the world will never remember what you take from it, but only what you leave behind.
Well, in that vein, you've done an awful lot of charity work over the year. You've also had golf schools throughout the country as well, and I've known some of the instructors that have worked at your golf schools. Talk about that process, how that's going for you.
Well, I don't have the schools. I gave them all to the fellows that work for me. But I'll say this, that in all the pros that I teach or the people that I have taught, I have never taken any money, because Byron Nelson gave me all his knowledge and never took any money from me. And I said, how can I ever thank you for all you've done? He said, be good to the game, Ken, and give back. And then there'll be people that will come to me and say, I'll pay you for any lesson. I just want a lesson from you. And so I give them the good news and bad news. I give them the bad news of how much I'm going to charge them. I give them the good news. I said, you can now make it to a charity of my choice.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. I know you're out at, are you out at Pebble Beach for the first tee event?
Yes, that's where they're announcing it. They're doing it tonight, and then we're leaving tomorrow. We're going up to Courtauld for the Fry's tournament, which they're honoring me up there, and they're going to be quite excited that they're honoring me there, and they know that they didn't know until now that I became part of the Hall of Fame.
Well, you're synonymous with that part of the world. I've heard stories about your influence on the golf courses at Fort Ord, which I think are fabulous. Can you tell us the real story there?
Well, I was in basic training and I designed the Banette course that was there, but I never played it, and I never saw the ending because I was shipped overseas. It was during the Korean War, and so I never got to play it or see it, but it was there. But I did the original layout.
Now, how many years between golf balls did you go during that time in the 50s?
Between hitting shots.
How long did you go before you could hit a golf ball again from the time you were shipped out?
Oh, I did quite a while basic training and went through all of that, and then I was stationed on the Russian border. I was an infantry sergeant, and I hit some golf balls, but when I came back, my swing was not very good, and Eddie Lawrie said to Byron Nelson, you got to fix this swing. It looks awful. I said, well, it's pretty hard to make a good swing with an M1.
But then it all came together, and your playing career over the next decade, starting in 1957, was – was spectacular. Mr. Nelson, and I understand Mr. Hogan as well, had a lot of influence on that.
Oh, that's for sure, right, Ted? If you want to take the both of them, is that Byron taught me all the mechanical way, and Hogan taught me the mental way. And I was very fortunate to have two of the greatest golfers to take me under their wing.
Mr. Hogan didn't share that type of information with a lot of people.
Not at all.
And what was it about you, do you think, that he liked and said, you know what, I'm going to be a part of this?
Well, it's the way we played. You know, we had a great conversation with no words. You hit a great shot, he'd look over at me, and I'd give him a wink. What else do you have to say? And that's what we did. And he taught me the mental side. You know, he said there's three ways to beat somebody. You outwork them, you outthink them, and then you intimidate them. And that was Mr. Nelson. I mean, that was Mr. Hogan.
Is there any of that left in the modern game, do you think?
It's different to me. You know, you watch the Ryder Cup and everything like that. I'm not very fond of all the yelling and screaming and doing throwing things and all that stuff. That's not was the school that I came from.
Indeed not. But the intimidation part of it, I don't think that necessarily exists anymore either.
Well, you know, it's just that Ben Hogan's line is that when you get on the first tee and you look your opponent in the eye and you make sure that he knows that you own him.
Well, Mr. Venturi, I know that you are pressed for time. I'm assuming that Sportsman of the Year, PGA Tour Player of the Year, the old Tom Morris Award, you've won basically every award that you can win. Is it safe to say this is your highest honor?
This is an honor that caps off of all that I've done, and I appreciate the award and the acceptance. And when the letters that come in, and they said to me, unanimously, you were unbelievable to get this award. And it's the greatest reward in life is to be remembered. And I hope, and I said also, as Byron said, be good to the game and give back, and that's what I've tried to do.
And you're going in with somebody I'm sure that you admire in Freddie Couples. That's quite a class.
Well, they've got, I guess, a couple more that are going to come in different categories, but this is a category that sums up, you know. You know, I said, and I've said it, that I was knocked down at the peak of my career when I lost the use of my hands. And then I was taken in to do CBS for 35 years. And it's best summed up by a statement by Jack Whitaker when he introduced me at the Waldorf Astoria, when he said, fate has a way of bending the twig and fashioning a man to his better instincts. And it sure has come out that way.
That is that's pure poetry, no question about it. Mr. Venturi, congratulations on this
Thank
final.
You, John. All right, good luck to you now. Thank you.
Thank you very much.